Well, good morning. My name is Father Mark Pedrez. I'm the provincial of the Western Dominican Province. I want to thank you all for coming here on the celebration of our 800 years. I must admit I'm a little bit intimidated because there's a scoreboard in the back. And I'm just wondering when it's going to light up. And at some point in the homily, it's going to say strike one, strike two, and you're out. I hope it's more a reflection on the bishop than it is on me, though.
Thank you, Father.
This last few months, I've been traveling quite a bit. And I've had the privilege of going on a pilgrimage to the Dominican sites, to the lands of Dominic. And I can't help but contrast that to the times that I've been to Franciscan holy sites. We go to Assisi, and it's jammed with people. The city is just teeming with people and devotees of St. Francis. It's crowded. Huge lines to go visit the tomb of St. Francis and all the holy sites that mark out his life in Assisi. That came back to me when we were in the lands of Dominic. As we were going through Italy, we decided to stop in Padua for lunch. And it was the day before the feast of St. Anthony. Franciscan preacher, St. Anthony of Padua. And the town was jammed. People lining up to pay devotion and reverence to the relics of St. Anthony, to his tomb. Then I contrast it to the holy sites of St. Dominic in his life. There were only about 60 of us on this tour, and at times we were the only ones at those holy sites, in the city of his birth in Caloega, in Fanjeaux and Pruy, where the ministry of the Dominicans took off in southern France. And then we were in Bologna. We were the only ones in the basilica at his tomb. And I said to myself, I am so proud to be a Dominican. When's the last time you saw a birdbath of St. Dominic in a backyard? You see, St. Dominic was about the mission, about the ministry, was about the preaching. It wasn't about the person. It was about the preaching and urgency of preaching that was most important to Dominic. He would not want to be honored as St. Francis is, nor would he want to be as honored as St. Francis is. He would want his sons and daughters to go about the mission because he cared about sinners, those who did not know God's love, those who do not know God's mercy, those who do not know the intimacy of knowing Jesus. And that's why I'm proud to be a Dominican, because it's not about the person of Dominic, it's about his mission and his preaching. Pope Benedict, Emeritus Pope Benedict XVI, wrote in his Lenten message the last year that he was Pope. He said, there is no action more beneficial and therefore no more charitable towards one's neighbor than to break the bread of God's word, to share with them the good news of the gospel, and to introduce them to a relationship with God. That is the mission and preaching of the Dominicans. And that is what we celebrate now, 800 years. And Isaiah reminds us how beautiful being sent is, how beautiful it is being on mission, how beautiful it is to be in mission for others. When the prophet recounts how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of those who bring good news. The ministry in the word, the preaching and mission of the order is an act of charity, of mercy, and ultimate generosity that drives us to share the greatest treasure that we have, the incarnate word, Jesus Christ. This beautiful gospel from St. Luke reflects the mission and ministry of the Dominicans. In fact, in the prologue of the actas of this general chapter that just passed, the actas, which are the legislation of the order, a beautiful prologue was written that reflects this gospel of Luke 10, verses 1 through 9. We hear in the gospel that he sent another 72. We get the impression from St. Luke's gospel that the message of Jesus was resonating with people and the community around Jesus was growing. So he no longer had to send the 12, but he could send another 72. St. Luke was giving us a message when he sent 72. At that time, when Luke's gospel was written, there were only 72 nations known to mankind. And Luke was giving an implied message that in those 72 that were sent out, that the message of Jesus Christ, the message of his love and redemption is universal. It is given to all. To hear, to receive, and to know the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. As Dominicans, we are sent and we base that sending on trust of God. And this trust demands on our part a fidelity to first listening to the Word of God. Pope Francis, in his audience to the general chapter this last Thursday, said to us that first the Word of God must be incarnate, must be incarnated by the preacher. The preacher must first be converted by the word he listens to of God, his intimacy with Jesus, and it is then and only then that he is sent. And so it is with us. We become intimate with Jesus by breaking open the word Sunday after Sunday and breaking the bread, being fed by him at the altar. We come to know a love beyond all telling, a love that no one else can give but Christ himself. How are we sent? We are sent two by two. We're sent as a community. And Jesus accompanies the two by two as he accompanied the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He is intimate with us in our ministry as we listen carefully to what he's saying and speaking to us, what we contemplate, what we pray, we share with others. We're sent two by two to build community. As Dominicans, we take a vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. But they are not an end in themselves. As Jesus teaches us in the gospel, go into whatever house welcomes you. Eat and drink what is ever put before you. Say to the household, peace be with you. What is Jesus teaching us through our vows and through this gospel is utter dependence on God. Our mission to preach depends solely on God. It's not about us. It doesn't count on us. It does not mean that it's going to be saved by us, our ministry or preaching. No, it is all grace. It is all coming from Jesus Christ. It's not about the preacher. It's about the word that is preached. It's about Jesus Christ. We're sent two by two because we cannot do this ministry alone. It is only through mutual support and encouragement, fraternal living and prayer that allows us to be more intimate with the Lord and thus give us the urge to go preach, to urge and to share what we have received from the Lord in community and as individuals. The task of the preacher is to heal the sick and to proclaim the kingdom of God, as Jesus says in this morning's gospel. Who are the sick? Who are those who need to be healed? Are they the ones that are only physically ill or injured? Isn't there a spiritual illness that is infecting our society and culture today? Aren't we experiencing a spiritual health crisis in our world? Materialism, secularism, indifference, the growing wealth gap between the rich and the poor, social and racial violence, terrorism, cultural and political polarization. Are these not the symptoms that show us that we are a society or culture that are ill and that we need healing, that we need to be touched by a mercy and a love that is beyond all telling, a mercy and the love that does not come from this world but comes from above, a love that dies on a cross and 3 days later rose again, a love that touches us and heals us and says to us, you are beloved? Yes, as the gospel says, we are sent as lambs in the midst of wolves. Yes, the harvest is plenty, the laborers are few. Yes, the gospel will be rejected, and so we shake off the dust from our feet. But as the letter of Timothy reminds us and challenges us, encourage us to preach and teach, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, even if people have stopped listening to the truth, the reality of Jesus' love and mercy for us is the same yesterday as it is today and tomorrow. It is unchanging. And it is precisely this love and this mercy that our world needs to hear if it is to be healed. Yet our mission and ministry concludes not by what we've said or done as preachers, but when we recognize that it's always the Lord's work, it is His grace. All that is done, all that is taught, all that is preached is grace. It all comes from Jesus. It comes from that Paschal mystery. We are preachers of grace because we preach Jesus Christ who gives us that grace. It is not us we preach, but Christ crucified, or rather, Christ risen. And as in these 800 years, as Dominicans, we give thanks for the mission we have received and for the fruit that our mission of preaching and teaching has given. And you, my dear friends, as we celebrate these 800 years, are the fruit of our preaching and teaching. And we give thanks to you all that you take the word as it is, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, to allow yourselves to be touched, to be healed, and to hear that the kingdom of God is in our midst. But you see, even as our mission continues, your mission as the fruits of Dominican preaching and teaching begins. Because you see, my dear friends, by your virtue of your baptism and by your confirmation, you become preachers. Not so much by word, but how you live your life. Our society needs you more than ever to witness to the truth that Jesus Christ is alive, that He touches our hearts, that we are graced by His presence in our lives, and the promise that He gives us of eternal life. You see, that's why I am so proud to be a Dominican. It's not about the person of Dominic. It was about his mission. And so, my dear friends, it is with us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about how we live our lives and give witness to the truth of Jesus. The mission continues, and it continues through you. So let us give thanks for what Dominic has given us. Let us give thanks for what Dominic has allowed us to do, the inheritance that we have received from him. And let us continue with this mission, whether convenient or inconvenient, in season or out of season. Let us continue. And may we be able to say at the end of our lives, when we see the Lord, I've kept the faith, I ran the race. I've done all that has been asked of me. Amen.